Hey everyone, and welcome to the 26th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. This podcast will be an opportunity to highlight some of the amazing members of the One of Us community, and we meet some of the people that make this the greatest group of individuals on the internet. The One of Us community is an inclusive gaming community made up of content creators, viewers, and gamers from all over the world. The community focuses on the tenets of playing games, having fun, and helping to lift each other up. The Discord is open to all people who share these values at discord.gg/oneofus. Make sure you follow and review the podcast to help others find the community. Also, you can now sub to the podcast at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support. All monetary support will go to bringing out more episodes, commissioning artwork and music, and future giveaways. My guest this week is the one and only Curly Dino. Longtime community member and Mixer streamer, Curly focuses her content around having fun and laughing with her audience while playing a variety of games. So sit down, relax, and enjoy the next hour or so with our good friend Curly Dino on the One of Us Community Podcast. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the 26th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. I am joined from all the way on the other side of the world by the one and only Curly Dino. How are you tonight, ma'am?
I'm good. Feeling good.
Yeah,
I wish I could say I was looking good, but
I mean, none of us can really hope for that all the time, especially because it's awfully late over there, isn't it?
Yeah, 1 a.m.
Oh my god. Well, I appreciate you being a vampire to be on the podcast.
My pleasure.
I always had like trouble scheduling like all our overseas guests, like Obi and you and Moody, because like
I can imagine, especially for them, because they have kids. So
yeah. Well, and then I've got a kid, right? So I've got to get him into bed before I can even like imagine trying to start recording.
Whereas me, so, no responsibilities.
No responsibilities. No,
I don't. Not even myself. It's sweet.
There's no rules. So for any community members that, you know, may have not found you, may not heard of you, might have not had any conversations with you, why don't you give them a brief rundown of who you are and what you do on the internet?
Like the X-rated stuff? No, I'm kidding.
No. This is, this is an explicit podcast, stuff. But got not you. That. Yeah.
Not my that mixer. Stuff.
The mixer with one X.
Got it. Okay. So I'm Curly Dino. I stream on Mixer. And I guess that's pretty much it. There's nothing really more complicated than that. I don't really know what my show is about. It's whatever I feel like.
None of us really know what our shows are about.
You kind of go in with an idea, and then it gets thrown out the window, and it goes crazy.
I mean that sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like a good Saturday night.
Until the rumors come out that like I killed a child when I was four, so.
I mean, who hasn't had that rumor started about them, though, you know?
When it's me, it's a big deal, apparently.
So, do you usually stream video games, or just nonsense, or a little bit of both?
It's normally video games, yeah. I try and keep it that. There's like the occasional in real life stream, which is PG, thrown out there. There's like no X-rated stuff.
It's not really one of those. But no, IRL
we keep it to games.
Yeah, what games do you like to stream?
Okay, so there's a massive difference to what I like to stream and what I can stream.
Okay.
So I like to stream Siege, Ark, Minecraft, Fortnite, Realm, like a massive variety. What I can stream is not Minecraft and not Fortnite.
Why is that?
Because kids are apeshit in the most nicest way possible, but they are. So
I knew the answer to that question, yeah. But I had to ask it still.
Kids are like, well, younger people, I should say, don't really know when they're being too far and don't really know when they're pushing the limit. And when you have a massive server such as Fortnite or Minecraft, you have like that times 20.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of work for my mods. It's a lot of work for me. And if something goes wrong, then all your energy goes into that thing that's going wrong and you don't really get to stream.
That's, and by I God, mean, that's,
I take my Minecraft really seriously. Like, argh, I mean,
who doesn't though? Who doesn't? Well, no, I mean that's a real concern. Like, I know Devils was on a while back, and he was telling us a story about how he had an open Minecraft server, and like they had spent a whole bunch of time building all this stuff, and then a random troll came in and destroyed six months worth of work.
So many varieties that go into it that that could go wrong. Like, you've got your troll aspect, you've got the queue aspect, you've got the actual gameplay aspect, and then you've got it's too much hassle, and I'm a simple girl. I'm a basic bitch.
You mean it's not just playing video games on the internet and making money?
Crazy enough, no.
We're not all gonna be ninja? What?
No, well, I am, okay.
But well, I the mean, rest other than people, you, the rest of us, you know, yeah, simpletons over
maybe
here.
Maybe the odds are slightly smaller.
Yeah. So have you always been into video games, or is this more of a new passion you picked up?
This is a very complicated question. So yes and no. Whenever I was younger, so I grew up with brothers, mm-hmm, and my brother was born in the 80s, which for me is kind of when games really came into mainstream, I guess.
Yeah.
So obviously
that would have been like the NES time frame,
Mortal Kombat, Tekken, and everything like that, which I love to play. But because I was a girl and because I was better than the boys, I kind of got pushed aside. So I wasn't allowed to play. So then I was like, fuck it, you know, I'll be a girl then. Let's go do girly things. Got really into makeup, really into hanging with my friends. And then in my teen years, my younger brother was playing this game, and he was being so competitive, and he was like, oh, look how good I am. Like, you could never be this good as me. So I was like, fuck it, give me a shot. And I loved it. So
yeah,
I convinced my older brother to get me an Xbox. And then that's where it restarted.
Yeah. What game was it that reignited? Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh my god. So did you start beating up the boys again in video games?
Massively. But because I had my own console this time, it didn't matter. I didn't have to play with them.
They couldn't stop you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So Xbox was your first console?
Kind of. So I used to share consoles with my brothers when I was younger. So we had the Sega, Dreamcaster, Nintendo, all mm-hmm, the PSs, like PS1, 2.
Oh, wow.
Then that's PS2 is when I stopped playing games because they were just like, oh my god, girls can't play games. So then we came back to Xbox because Halo was only, well, is exclusive to Xbox, not for much longer. Mm-hmm. So yes, then I switched from strictly PS to then strictly Xbox.
Oh, wow. So other than the Halos, were there any other games like in the Xbox time frame that really got you?
Trying to think. So I think Halo Reach I kind of religiously played for a good couple of years. And then I moved into Skyrim and the normal fighting games that we played anyway, like Mortal Kombat and Tekken and things like that. But there's nothing that really stands out more than Halo. I like wasted years in that game.
Really?
Even when the new Halos came out, I was just like, they're not as... Multiplayer isn't as good as Reach.
I enjoyed Halo 5. I played a fair bit of that. I mean, I never got to the point where I was religious. Yeah.
Thought it was good, but there's always that game that you're just like, it's just, it doesn't compare.
Yeah. It had a different feel to it. But yeah, I mean, I think there's... Like, there's always these conversations, like, in the Destiny communities, too, about, like, Destiny 1 versus Destiny 2, and like I think there's a bit of nostalgia that goes in to all that too, whereas if that's the first game in that franchise that you played, or it's, you know, the game that got you back into video games.
Exactly.
You know,
it's like the passion for it starts there.
It's like it's almost like the memories and the emotional attachment has more to do with it than the actual game itself.
100%, yeah.
Now, are you still pretty close with your brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
It's a weird thing. They literally do my head in, but we're still pretty close. It's like they do my head in like a nice way, in a close family way.
Yeah.
Not like do a they, magic tip you guys, them again.
Do you guys still play video games together?
No.
No?
So me and my younger brother, we try to. His name's Obsidian Blade. He also kind of streams a Mixer. Okay. We try to, but he either gets really ragey or I'm too good. And no, it just doesn't work. And when it's against your siblings, you're just always really competitive. So I won't let them win.
So my sister was never into video games, but she liked she was big into soccer, football for you guys.
For us.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, you cares. So she would always play FIFA with me. Like this is back like I don't know FIFA 14, 15, 16 that time frame. But those games would always get super competitive just because like you said, like it was siblings. Right, you don't want to lose. So, like, obviously, I didn't want to lose my little sister.
So many levels to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like all this like pent up frustration and rage from years of being brother and sister just coming out.
With my older brother, it's just flat out. If something happens, he doesn't like. He's like, no, you're not playing anymore. It was the same when I was younger and we used to play Tekken. I was like, no, you can't pick that character anymore. So I'd be like, fine, I'll pick someone else. No, you just can't play the game anymore. Your turn's over. It's done.
I'm hitting the power button on this one. So, when did you decide that you wanted to try the whole streaming and content creation?
So, this kind of rolls into my previous statement. So, my little brother, Obsidian, was streaming on Mixer. And he was like, oh, look at this. It's so cool. It's straight off your Xbox. And I was like, it looks nerdy. He's like, no, I swear, it's really cool. Like, you can watch people play games. So I kind of watched. I was like, oh, that's fine. He's like, oh, do the stream with me. So kind of done one with him, got a couple of views. And he was like, I have this many, and, like, you have zero. And he just made it into a competition. So I was like, you know what?
It's all over now.
This.
Yeah.
I'm a stream. And then I started doing it. And I was like, okay, I need to pick a game that I don't want to play by myself. So it was Resident Evil 7, and that's just where it started. And then it became less of a competition and more of this is what I really like.
So it started as a competition, but then you found that you were passionate about,
like,
it.
Like many things in my life, I do to prove people wrong.
Yeah, I've seen a pattern here, right? Is that you joined Halo, to beat your brother, and then.
If we're going to be honest, it was probably starting with Candy Crush whenever my mom was like, I'm on this level and you don't even play the game. And I was like, right, bitch, you're going down now, 2 years later.
$5,000 in Google Play later.
Still beating her, though.
Yeah, that's all that matters, right? That's all that matters. So what part of streaming really did you find the most enjoyment in? Like, what brought you back?
Probably the conversations in the community.
Yeah.
So very early on, I built like a very quick community, and it's still the people that hang around the streams now, and they're just so fun to talk to, and they kind of get my humor. It's all very light and very like comedy, which is it's what I aim for, and it's just a good outlet.
Well, that's really cool. Do you play with your community, or are you typically the one playing and just talking to them?
I play with and talk. So it's everyone is allowed to join. It's always open. Even off stream, I encourage people to join my games. If there are open lobbies and they're available to join, then just join. Don't even ask. It's fine. But I mean, my gameplay isn't great. Like, it's not the best, because I'm just constantly getting distracted and joking.
It's hard, like, as a streamer to play at a very high level,
right? Because it's like 50% on, well, in my case, like 20% on gameplay, 80% on chat.
Even
at a 50-50, it's so damn hard.
Oh yeah, because I mean you're literally glancing away from the screen, you know, every couple of seconds, because, you know, you see chat move or you see something pop up that you've got to look at. And It's definitely a trick. So how did you come across the One of Us community?
So whenever I first started streaming, I kind of was into Fortnite, and I was like, oh, I want to get better at Fortnite. I want to know how to build and do these things. And then I came across Rob, And I was actually watching Rob for a couple of months before I followed him. And I clicked on him. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't build. And I was like, right, okay, no, not going to help me. Clicked straight off. And started watching
fucking mediocre gameplay.
But then I came back to it because I realized that it wasn't just about... Mixer wasn't just about watching people be good at games. There was a whole other side to it of interacting with your audience and making friends and building on something. So then it came back to Rob, and I realized that he wasn't as interested in the game and was more interested in his chat. And I was like, actually, that's something that I'm doing myself. Yeah. So hit the follow, and a year later, here we are.
It's crazy that it's been a year.
I know.
Because you had joined, I remember you joining the community very early in its inception. And for some reason you decided to stay around.
Yeah. Well, I think I probably followed Rob on a Monday because I remember then he had the co-stream, and this is when Salty Steve and everyone else was involved in it. And I was like, oh my God, like these people are so different, but they like work so well together. And then that's kind of when it was like the One of Us community was really like brought to light.
It was an interesting dynamic in those early co-streams, because it was like four different guys, but they meshed very well together.
Yeah, like so different, but so well fitted.
And yet somehow that's kind of become like a metaphor for the entire community, because there are people in the One of Us Discord community that come from all walks of life, all areas of the world, and yet somehow everybody meshes together.
Because I think it's on a whole respect level as well. Like with most people, if you disagree with them, it's just it's an argument. That's it. There's no conversation. There's no like intellect. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh my God, I don't agree with you, so we're enemies. But in One of Us, it's like there's a whole discussion, or there's like, no, I understand your point, I just don't agree. It's just built firmly on respect of other people's views and opinions, which that I think that's where it works so well.
Yeah, it's surprising, you know, that like if you look around like the internet, like around social media or you know anywhere like that, like it doesn't seem to be a lot of that. Like it's I feel like in today's society that like discussion and conversation has given way to just like real quick attacks. Like if someone disagrees with you, like they automatically write you off. Instead of being able to have like these intelligent conversations that I feel like we have quite often in the Discord and on streams and things like that. And it's very refreshing.
100%. Yeah, I agree. I don't like the whole negativity behind things, but I love like a healthy, meaty debate.
Yeah. Like we had a discussion in one of my streams a couple weeks ago, because I had talked about hunting on one of the podcasts. And another viewer who was also from the UK, obviously the culture around hunting is very different over in Europe than it is in the United States. And we had a very healthy conversation about, you know, hunting and conservation and all of these things. And it didn't become this nasty attacking argument. Like it was a very healthy conversation between, you know, a streamer and a few people in chat. And that, like, those are the types of connections.
So that was Ginger's.
Hmm?
That was Ginger's podcast.
Yeah, I think it was. But like those are the types of healthy, like real connections that you make with people that I think you only make through this type of content creation and streaming, because like you're not going to have that conversation on Twitter. You're not going to have that conversation on Facebook. But for some reason, like you can have these real conversations in a stream chat sometimes. And it really is an interesting phenomenon.
Definitely.
So what do you find yourself streaming these days?
So at the minute, my favorite game is Siege.
Is it?
Yeah.
A lot of people have been saying that.
Whenever I was hearing them, and I was like, oh, if I ever get on the podcast, my answer is just going to be like so generic. Yeah. Everyone's copying me. But no, yeah, it's Siege.
That game has been such an interesting story, because when it came out, like, it came out in a pretty rough shape. Like, I know the PC version was pretty poorly optimized. Like, it didn't run very well. But they've invested so much in listening to their players and building that game up. And now it's like you look at Mixer and it feels like the game is doing very well. The game's been out for, God, what, 4 years now almost? And it's thriving.
A game, especially in streaming terms, to still be doing this well is very surprising.
Not only that, but like the fact that it's like a pure shooter, right? Because like games like Destiny or other like live service games, they last that long, but you're adding new content all the time to them. Whereas like Siege is Siege, man. It's bomb. It's hostage. You know, it's. I wouldn't say it's the same game every time, but like you're just playing. You're playing a shooter, and yeah, they add, you know, new operators and seasonal stuff.
But ultimately,
it's a competitive. Yeah, it's a competitive shooter, and it's incredible that they've been able to keep the player base invigorated for that long. When did you start getting into Siege?
I got into Siege whenever I first started streaming. I kind of met a couple of people that were also playing Resident Evil, and they had Siege. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's a great game, try it. So I tried it, and I was like, actually, I hate this. Like, I don't like the. So whenever I joined, I was just constantly kicked from games because I was like level one. Nobody wants to play with a noob, and I was the noobiest because I'd never even played a game, with this kind of gameplay. I guess it's very slow paced. It's very tactical, and I was just like, shoot people that I see, shoot everything, piss about. So yeah, I didn't even get a chance to play a match. Wow. In the first week I had the game. So I was like, I hate it. It's shit. I can't even play it. And I hate it. So I kind of dropped it for a while. Started playing with them, and I was like, I don't get it. I don't get the operators. I don't get how you just don't shoot the hostage. I don't get it. So I dropped it again. Mm-hmm. And then started streaming it. And then my stream community helped me understand it, helped me know what to do. And like, they were just so supportive. And then I started to really enjoy it, started playing with other people. And yeah, once you get past the shitty beginning stage, it is a good game.
And I think that's the part that I've always gotten hung up on, because like I've fired it up a couple times, because I've actually bought it twice on Steam, because I bought it once on a Steam sale. And then I forgot that I bought it, so I bought it again.
Okay.
And I actually had to refund it.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. But I've gone in and I've played like some of the operations and like Terrorist Hunt, because I used to play a ton of Rainbow Six like when I was younger. But I think like the stories of like how toxic and nasty that community can be has turned me off from trying to play it, because I do typically play solo. And that makes it hard to jump into like one of those types of communities.
Yes, it is. I know some people have said that they've never seen the toxic side of it, and I'm so happy they haven't. I wouldn't say unfortunate, because I don't really care, but I have. But I take it like in my stride, and it's so funny, kind of the things that people are toxic about, but it does make it very difficult to play the game, because you can't even get into a match. So you're like, well, why do I even have this game when I can't even play it? Yeah. So it is, I would always suggest playing it with even one person, but it's sad that although this game's so unique, it also has that other side to it.
Yeah. And I think but, that I comes mean, along.
It makes good content for me, so keep it coming.
That's all that matters, right? And I think that comes along with the competitive nature of the game. Because, I mean, you do see the same things in, like, a Counter-Strike or an Overwatch or anything that gets played at a very highly competitive level.
Yeah.
It definitely creates this kind of psychological barrier to entry for new players, because they've heard, oh, it's, You know, it's yeah. going to be toxic. You're going to get cussed out, and nobody wants that.
I just find it so weird when you can be on a team and that team would rather put you down and hurl abuse at you rather than be like, oh, you know what? You know what can help you if you try this? Or do you know if you do this? Like, I don't get why your initial reaction is to go, oh my God, you're shit, rather than here, do you want help?
Yeah. I think it's because they know that they're not going to be on a team the next game. So, like, they just don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's easier. You don't have to face them again.
Yeah. It comes along with that, like, anonymity of the internet, right? Is that everybody's not afraid to say whatever shitty thought comes to their mind because you don't know who they are and you're probably never going to see them again. Have you run into some pretty toxic individuals on the game?
Yes. So it's every situation I come with that comes with like toxic people always ends differently. It either ends with they're toxic to me either because I'm a girl or I don't play good. And then it's just like all this abuse, or it ends with, oh my God, you're a girl, so I'm going to be nice to you now. Yeah. I actually had this group of people, and it was in a ranked placement match, and they just kept on killing everybody on their team. I was in with them once, and the team killed me, and I was like, whatever, I don't really care about my ranked. Then there was this kid that was with them 3 matches in a row, and I kind of sent them a message. I never normally do this, okay, just throwing it out there. But I sent them a message just basically saying, by the way, this kid's been on your team 3 games in a row. He just wants placed. You're completely just ruining his chances.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, you're a girl? Like, we can help you rank up. It's fine. We're going to help him rank up too. And they were just so nice. And like, wow. We were just pissing about. But we'll help you rank up. We'll get you to like platinum so quickly. And I was just like, what the fuck? Okay.
That's so strange. I've gotten those a couple of times in Destiny. Like if we're playing comp, I'll get like a nasty message after I kill somebody or something like that. And I'll respond, you know, I'm not going to fight fire with fire. So I'll just respond, you know, well, have a good time. You know, good luck next time. And then the next message will be, you want to join up? You want to join our fire team?
Do you want to play? You seem nice. Yeah, you're cool. Yeah. Do you want to hang out? You want to be friends?
I wasn't trying to be toxic. I was just seeing if you were going to be toxic. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, bite the bullet first.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So do you play Siege on console or are you on Xbox? Or
Xbox.
On PC?
Yeah. Do you play solely on Xbox? On PC. Yeah.
No.
Solely Xbox. I am thinking about switching over some games to PC, but the whole hand coordination, I'm only good sometimes with other activities, just not in this particular one.
Yeah. It's a hard skill to learn.
Yes.
I played on PC.
Props to anybody that can do it.
Yeah, I played on PC all through high school, but then like right around like time I graduated and went to college, I bought an Xbox, and then like that was all I played for probably 5-6 years. And then when PUBG first came out on PC, I was like, well, you know, Destiny 2 is coming out next year on PC. PUBG is pretty good now. Like I'm gonna play on PC and force myself to relearn mouse and keyboard. And obviously, I had prior experience, but it still took me a couple months.
Yeah.
Of probably playing, you know, nonstop.
Even switching between an Xbox controller and a PS4 controller, yeah. I'm like, what? I don't like this.
So
just give me my Xbox.
And now I look back, and like 2 years later, I try to go back and use a controller on console, and like I can't even use a controller anymore. Like I've completely broken that muscle memory. And forced my hand-eye coordination to relearn mouse and keyboard. But it is like it's a tough thing to do because you've got to commit yourself to being bad for a while.
I think with anything you need to get through the bad stage of like, yes, I know I'm shit, but I will get better.
It was even like when I played Destiny 1 consistently on console, like I had bought a set of those Control Freaks. Like they're like thumbstick and extenders.
Yeah.
And I loved them, but like I added those and then I remapped my controller and I just had to take a weekend of just playing absolute shit PvP to break it. But once I did, like, my KD, like, leveled out, and I picked up, like, a 0.7 on top of my KD just from, like, those two changes. But if you don't have the peace of mind to say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get better, it's going to be rough in the beginning. It's hard to commit yourself.
Yeah, if you don't have the patience with yourself,
yeah,
it's tough. And unfortunately for me, I have no patience with myself. Yeah.
Well, I will say I've noticed a trend as far as PC gaming goes. I've noticed a trend on greater levels of controller support. So, like, yes. Right now, like, Destiny, I think, does it probably the best in a sense that controllers and mouse and keyboard are balanced very well, just in the way that they do recoil patterns and aim assist and things like that. And it seems like that seems to be the trend now, is, like, they want people...
It's kind of the, like, if you do want to switch to PC, the controller's there. It's not, like, a massive change.
Yeah.
Which is why like I'm starting to be like, you know what? That could be an option for me.
Yeah, hop on, plug a controller. And especially now, like, the Xbox controllers, you plug them right into your PC.
Yeah.
And they just work. You know, it's great. I remember having to download, like, all these drivers and different softwares just to make controllers work, and... Now it's like plug it in and you're ready to go. So how would you feel about doing some Discord questions?
Go for it.
All right. We'll start with the standard ones and then we'll jump into the ones that all these degenerates in our Discord
You're meant
community.
To be ones.
Yeah.
They're date,
yeah.
By the way. Can I just throw it out there? Holy shit, Don. They're fucking jays. Okay?
I'm telling you, like, there's been a noticeable lack of Dawn questions the last couple of weeks, and it's been a lot harder
back for me.
It's been a lot harder to fill a podcast because, you know, I'm missing all that content. But let's jump into the standard questions first. So, what is the origin story of your username? So, where does Curly Dino come from?
So, I think every streamer should have a good origin story with their name. Unless you're Robert M. Catalano, because, I mean, that's just, that's simple. But
it's not really an origin story. It's your mom and your dad one night.
Boring. Yeah. But me and my friend wanted to start a YouTube channel. This is when YouTube kind of came out, 2005, very popular.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know, what can be our good channel name? I'm like, oh, what if, like, we merge our names together? I don't know why, but Kirsty and Kaylee together made Curly somehow, and because our name started with K, it was obviously Curly with a K and an IE. Really don't know why. Looking back, it doesn't make sense. Sending them out doesn't make sense. But somehow we're like, yeah, no, that sounds like our names meshed together. Kaylee, Kirsty, Curly.
Yeah.
And I was just always, so we kind of started that channel, nothing really happened with it, and then whenever I got my Xbox, it was like for a gamer name, and I was like, you know what, Curly, that sounds good. Curly was taken. I was like, for fuck's sake. So I've always been obsessed with dinosaurs, always typed in Curly Dinosaur, but there was like a limit back then.
There's too many letters.
So I just had to shorten it to Curly Dino, and looking back, it's just catchy. It's quick,
it does, like, it done. Works. It's easy to remember. It's simple to spell. You don't have 17 numbers in there. It's great. I like it. Cool.
Curly Dino 692155.
Yeah. XXX360 no scopes Curly Dino. What would the adult version of an ice cream truck sell, and what song would it play?
It would sell alcoholic milkshakes, and the song would be "My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard."
That might be the best answer that we've had to that question yet.
Like, how quick
could you imagine, like, a hot, like, 90-degree day? Yeah, and you just go and get, like, a frozen mudslide.
Right.
I'm in.
Copyright. Epic
copyright.
Patent it now, right?
Patent it now. An epic feast is being held in your honor. What would be on the table?
Chicken curry.
Chicken curry?
That's it, chicken curry. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to explain that to me, because I don't know that we have that here.
Chicken curry? You don't have chicken curry?
No.
What? So, if you go to a Chinese,
yeah,
you would get chicken curry. So it's curry sauce, chips, and chicken. Chicken breast cut up into chunks. Chicken curry.
Sounds amazing.
It's beautiful. I have it almost every day of the week.
Really?
Yeah. So I used to buy it.
Seems aggressive.
And it was obviously really fattening and it was expensive. So then I learned how to make it myself. And now that I can make it myself, it's all day, early.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it'd be pretty easy to make.
It's healthy as well when you make it yourself and not get it from
and not get it from a Chinese. Shady Chinese restaurant down the street.
Exactly.
Who was your role model growing up?
I don't think I had a role model growing up. So I kind of saw my mom go through a lot of stuff kind of young, like just normal kind of grown up stuff. And it kind of taught me what I didn't want to do in life. And it taught me how people shouldn't treat people. So in a way, that was like a role model, but not a role model, if you know what I mean. Like, it taught me what not to do.
Yeah, I mean,
and now that I'm older, she is my role model because she's a lot stronger for the things that she went through as well.
That's good. Yeah.
So yeah, cheesy answer.
So I mean, you definitely could consider that a role model. You know, you learned from her. You became a better person.
Learn what not to do, which is just as important.
It is. Like, sometimes those are the harder things to learn.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because like somebody could tell you, you know, do this, but like. I believe that like a lot of our best learnings come from our biggest mistakes.
100% yes.
And if you can gain that knowledge from somebody else's experiences, like that's just as good of a learning experience as someone teaching you like the right things to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Favorite flavor of Pop Tart?
I don't think I've ever had a Pop Tart.
I
feel like Pop-Tarts are really American.
I thought too, but then I asked that question to Moody and he's like, we haven't had Pop-Tarts in a while, but we like this one.
Maybe it's so I wasn't American sure. And English. No, yeah, never had a Pop-Tart. Never even seen them like advertised or in store or anything.
Oh,
but
yeah, we gotta get you a care package.
I'm a go cherry. Is there cherry Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. Cherry.
That cherry's a solid answer. I like
Wait, would there be vodka Pop-Tarts? I'll go vodka Pop-Tart.
No, but we can add that to the adult
version
of the ice cream
truck. There
we go.
That is it.
Vodka. See, now we're talking. You take an alcoholic milkshake and you stuff a cherry vodka Pop-Tart in it.
Right? That sounds delicious.
We're just going to stop the podcast. We got million-dollar ideas over here. We need to go make some money. Obi asks, Scottish or Irish?
Scottish for girls, Irish for boys.
Okay. What does that mean?
that's what it is, Matt. No, so Irish people are a lot nicer. Scottish people get things done.
Okay, where do you fall?
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. So you're like, you're like Scottish Irish.
Yeah, 50-50.
So it's Bree asks, what's your favorite game to play? So maybe not your favorite game to stream, but what's your favorite game to play?
Favorite game to play would probably still be Siege at the minute, but overall, Halo Reach.
Now, do you play a lot of games off stream? Or if you're playing, are you usually live?
Kind of. Yeah, no, I would still play quite a bit off stream, yeah. And it would typically be Siege. Just because Halo Reach servers at the minute are, they're just, I can't. But I'm so excited for it to be remastered. But yeah, no, it would be Siege. Just because
I was gonna say,
people into it.
Halo Reach is coming back out pretty soon, isn't it?
It is. I'm so excited.
And it's coming out on PC.
I know. I'm moist for it. So moist.
I never got into like the Halo series. Like I always played.
Being a
like,
Destiny player, I would have.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it? Like I was always more. I played more like the twitchy shooters. Like so, I played a lot of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
A lot of Counter Strike.
Back in the day, you were either COD or Halo. You can't be both.
Yeah, you couldn't, right? Because fucking Call of Duty players hated Halo players, and Halo players hated Call of Duty players.
It was a rivalry. Now just couldn't have both.
Yeah. So, like, when Master Chief Collection came out, I was like, well, this is my opportunity to get in and see what I missed. And obviously, it didn't work very well at launch. I don't know if it still works at all. But now with them coming to PC, I think I might give them one more try on PC.
Give it a go. Do you like the storylines, or do you like the multiplayer?
So, I've played more of the multiplayer than I have the storylines, because...
Halo Reach for multiplayer, then, I would say was the best Halo.
Yeah, because, like, I'll be honest, the Halo 1 story does not age well. Like, you can tell that it is a 15-year-old game.
Being a Halo lover, people are probably going to hate me for this, but I've never finished any of the campaigns.
Yeah.
Never played a lot of them, and never finished any of them.
So I played a bunch of Halo 3 multiplayer.
See, I've heard that Halo 3 was good for campaign, but terrible for multiplayer.
See, I liked the multiplayer, but obviously I wasn't deep enough into Halo to really know, like, the nuance behind it. But it was more of, that's what my friends were playing, so I was playing with people. And I liked it. I never played Reach. I played a little bit. I enjoyed the Halo 1 multiplayer when I played it on Master Chief Collection. But I'm interested to play, like, more of it. Because especially now playing Destiny and, like, understanding that Bungie magic. The
mechanics behind it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, now it's, like...
PC, it's going to be magical.
Oh, my God. So I've played Halo 5 on PC because the Forge is actually on PC. It is an absolutely wonderful thing. I will say that. Whiskey Tango asks, what's your favorite part about Mixer?
So for the website itself, I love the format and the layout of it. It's really simple and really easy to use compared to the likes of Twitch. And for me personally, though, it's the people and the community that you build and the other communities that you find that just make it even stronger. That makes me keep coming back to it.
That's a good answer. I've always found that, like, the community is a strong part of it, but, like, I don't think people give the interface and the actual website enough.
No, they definitely not. See, I went onto Twitch to kind of just watch a few people, and it's just, I don't know how to use it. It's so messy. It's not, like, easy use to a new person, like a newbie kind of newbie, starting newbie. Out on streaming websites and stuff. It's just so confusing and over-concentrated, and it's overwhelming as well. Like, you kind of look at it and you're like, I don't want to touch you. It's like a whore on Saturday night. You're like, I don't want to go there. I want to go to, like, the pretty girl down the corner.
Yeah, right? Barbossa asks, what is your signature quote?
Oh, man. They change week to from week.
All right, what's the one this week?
So, this week is, my mama didn't raise no bitch. And but, like, overall, I think it would probably be all day or a day.
All day or a day?
Yeah.
All right. The Red Panda asks, if you were to relate to a Greek god or goddess, who would Apollo. You relate to? Oh, yeah?
So easy.
Why? Yeah.
Greek god Apollo. So Apollo is the god of music and healing. And I love music. I love healing bitches.
I'm love Apollo. Healing bitches. I love it. Panda also asks, apart from Disneyland Paris, where have you been on holiday and what was the best time?
I saw this question. It's so weird that he mentioned one of the holidays I've been on. That kid knows too much. But I've been on a couple of holidays. I've been to Spain. I've been to France a couple of times. I've been, like, all over the UK. But Disneyland Paris is just my hands down favorite place.
Is it?
It's so magical. It's so, like, musical and colorful, and it's so happy. Like, you can't be sad in Disneyland Paris.
No.
You see anybody sad? No. Everyone's smiling. There ain't no bitch crying. Everyone's happy. It's great.
We used to go to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, like, every other year. We had
some friends. I would imagine that would be really claustrophobic over there.
It's like, actually so not. You know what? It's not bad.
Is it not?
No. Oh, and, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, large groups of people,
mm-hmm.
or places that are, like, really busy or anything like that. But yeah, no, we would go because my wife used to nanny for two little girls, and their family would go every other year, and they'd rent this house, and they would invite us down, and we'd come down and basically have a free place to stay, and we just have to fly ourselves down there, and it is you're right, like it's hard to not be happy when you're there.
Yeah, like even if you're not into Disney, just the atmosphere itself, the atmosphere that they create. Like Disney must put a lot of work into it because you just get caught up in it.
So here's the craziest thing. So I actually proposed to my wife at Magic Kingdom in Orlando. Like right in front of the castle, and somehow like I timed it just right that like there was one of their shows was happening, and like as she said yes, like fireworks went off. Like I couldn't have planned it any fucking better.
You should have told her that you planned that. You should be like, yeah, these are actually for you.
She knows me better than that. She knows I'd be full of fucking shit.
Damn.
But the craziest part is, right, so I had gotten down on one knee, right? I had asked her to marry me. She said yes. By the time I stood up, there was a cast member there handing us, like, just got engaged pins, like, for us to wear, like, on our shirt. Like, jeez. I'm like, I have no idea where this person came from. But, like, within seconds of me proposing, like, they were there. And I'm like, wow, this is, like... But that's how they create that experience.
They must have people, like, walk around being like, right, who's the couple who doesn't have a ring on their finger? Watch out for them. Stop
them. Just fucking follow them the whole time, you know?
That's crazy. I'd be more scared than, like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I'd be like, what the hell? What is your name? Who's your manager?
Yeah, but, like, I think that's how they build that. That kind of experience, because it feels like magic,
like a unique experience for every single person.
Yeah,
even though you're like in a massive place, you still feel like an individual.
Yeah, it's crazy. My sister worked at Disney for several years, part of their college program, and she told me some of the stories of like some of the different things that they do to like control the experience, but like enhance the experience and stuff like that. And it's wild the extent that they go to make it feel like a really magical place.
I mean, they should do. They're getting like enough friggin' money.
Oh my God, I know. I don't even want. It's so expensive. Everything there is so expensive. It's ridiculous. Robert M. Catalano asks, "What qualities must a streamer have to earn the Dino Seal of Approval for her viewership?"
Nudity. No.
Is that why you left Rob? Because he doesn't wear pants.
Yes, I know he doesn't. Everybody knows he doesn't. He doesn't admit it.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Is if he doesn't admit it, right, it remains content.
Yeah, it remains like...
It remains relevant. God,
does he? Doesn't he? Yeah. I'm going to keep watching for one day when he slips up and stands up.
Yeah. Everybody know. I mean, everybody knows, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you've been in his chat long enough, like, you know he's not wearing anything.
Probably. Audience interaction, I look for first.
Yeah.
So I'll always go in someone's channel, give them a minute, be like, oh, hi. And not that I want them to notice my comment, though. It's not like, oh, my God, if you don't notice me in, like, the next 5 minutes, I'm just going to leave. It's more so, like, do you notice anybody? Are you friendly enough? Because, like I said at the start, I did watch people to see, like, their gameplay itself to how to get better at stuff. But now you just have YouTube tutorials for that. You really don't need to watch a streamer for that. Ninja. So it really quickly became about the person and their actual engagement and their community that they were trying to build. So that's the first thing I look for. Then it's their friendliness. And then it's if they're cute or not.
If they're cute or not?
Yeah, it's, I mean.
You don't want to be looking at
You're going to look slog. At them constantly. You don't want to look at someone with drill down their face and cheese on their shirt. No. You want to look at someone pretty.
I feel targeted by that statement.
No, not you.
I have cheese on my shirt. She's talking about me.
That's okay.
No. Once the little man goes to sleep, I usually don't have cheese on my shirt anymore. Epic Jag asks, do the dogs steal the show?
Yes.
What 100%. Dogs would you be referring to?
So it would be my dogs, Skylar and Logan, Border Collie, German Shepherd. So there was an ongoing joke whenever I first started streaming because they were always in the background. So we have the bark command when you hear them. And then I moved my whole system whenever I started getting serious about streaming into, which is now my stream room. And I had to like close the door on them just because they would always run in, start playing. You can hear them in the background. They're so freaking loud. So I closed the door, and then you hear them in the hallway, like barking, making noise, head banging the door. So I'm like, fuck, I gotta keep it open. So then it just quickly became, you know what? They're part of the show too,
Yeah,
okay? If I'm streaming and the cam's on, Skylar will see the blue light. He'll come right up to my face.
of
Logan
course.
goes under my lid. It's a shit show, but everyone loves to see a train crash. So that's
Yeah,
me. I'm the train
there you
crash of
go.
Mixer
The
with my
train crash of
dogs.
Mixer, it's official. Jag also asks, will you ever complete Outlast?
No.
No?
Maybe in
Did you
20
start it?
years. I did, and
What
it
happened?
takes me an hour to get through about 5 minutes gameplay. So I love horror movies. I can sit and be a tank through a horror movie, not even flinch. Insidious 2 came out in cinema and I laughed through that. It was the best comedy I'd ever seen. Horror games, I can't do.
It's
That's
a
one
different
of the reasons
experience.
it is. It's because it's first person experience. That's
Yeah.
why I had to have people watching me to play Resident Evil so I could laugh with them. But with Outlast is nah, can't do it, man. On
I
five
honestly think
minutes
I
gameplay
think
takes
that
me
that's
there.
some of the best, like some of the best content is people getting scared at
I
games.
love seeing other people do it, but when it's me, I'm just like, why? It's torture.
Are you ready for some of Don's questions?
Okay, let's do it.
If you could be one character in any game, comic book, or superhero movie, who would it be?
Dark Phoenix, but less shit.
But less shit.
Yeah.
Oh, why would you choose Dark Phoenix?
I love her superpower. Like if I could have a superpower, that's what it would be. If I could write myself into a comic book or a movie, I'd want that superpower. But less shit. She shit. Superpower great, she shit.
What do you think you're capable of achieving?
There is nothing I'm capable of not achieving.
That's a really good outlook on life. So, like, another one of the questions that usually comes up, but like, where do you see like your channel going? Like, are you content doing this as like a hobby, or are you trying to become a mixer partner someday?
Obviously the aim is mixer partner. I don't know anybody that just stream and never want it to lead that way. A
Yeah.
hobby or not, I mean, you always want progression, but it's not something that if I constantly was getting rejected, I'm not gonna like cry about it. I'm not gonna be like, oh, well, I'm not getting partnered, so I'm not gonna stream or I'm just gonna like move somewhere. No, I'm gonna stick around and stick with the community and keep building that and hopefully add into it and add into other people's communities. But so it's not like I'm going to be partnered, that's it, make a lot of money, be the next ninja. It's just, yeah, no, we're just going to see where it goes. If it happens, it happens, fantastic. If it doesn't, still going to do it.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the way I look at it too. What do you think your future self will remember about you right now?
How bad I do a fake tan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really bad. So right now I'm super patchy because I'm really pale. Like I'm transparent, so I need to wear a fake tan when I go out so people can actually not bump into me. And it's so patchy. One hand's darker than the other. I had them on for the same time though. I don't really know what happened. I don't know.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you think it's possible that some animals are self-aware and think about their ability to think?
Yes, because I see it all the time in my stupid dog Skyler. So he's a border collie. He's meant to be one of the most intelligent dogs ever. He does things and then kind of stops and looks at what you've done. And then you can see him thinking. You see his little cogs going, like, why did I do that? How did I do that? I don't, what? And you're just like, what? You're so stupid. All you done was like bang into a door. It's not rocket science. Why are you thinking about it?
Oh my
It's
God.
beautiful to watch, but also a little bit like, shit, that's my dog. When I take him to the park, I gotta explain, that's my dog.
Yeah.
The one that's bipping your dog in the face because he thinks that's how a kiss works. Yeah, that's my one.
So I ran through the same thing with Coda. I was wondering like what she thought, and I thought that was really interesting to think about. Then you have a child.
Yes.
And the same feelings come along, and you're like, okay, I don't know what you're thinking about, but like I'd be really curious to know. And then you think about, okay, I have to explain to people why my kid likes to bang his head against the door.
Yeah. Like sometimes you see them do stuff and you're like, that, why would you do that? And they're just like, it's fun. Like, when, that's the answer I got to give to people. Yeah. So you got to give me something more, kid. Like
what? when he was real young, when he would get excited, like he would just like hit his head against things. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
do you know what though? I feel him. I used to do the same. My nickname was Torpedo because I would just run at people. I don't know why. It was just fun.
So we took him to the like one of his checkups, and I asked the doctor about it. I'm like, this kid likes to fucking hit his head against shit. Like, is that normal? She goes, that's a sign of high intelligence. And I'm like, no. I said hit his head against things. And she's like, yeah. She goes, he realizes that hitting his head against something gets him attention, and that's what he wants. She goes, so it's a sign of intelligence, and him being able to make those connections and get a reaction out of you. And I'm like, well, son of a bitch.
You're just like, damn, and I give him that attention every time.
Yeah, fucking playing me like a fiddle.
So really, so who's the rat here with the cheese?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the parents.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've come to this realization. All right, I've accepted my fate. It's fine. With no laws or rules to influence your behavior, how do you think you would behave?
I would behave no different. So
no,
I don't do things. Not that I'm like a rule breaker or a law breaker, but I don't necessarily do things because an authority figure tells me to. I do it if it's right. So at school, I used to get in trouble a lot at school for certain things, and especially talking back to teachers when I was old enough, when I was 18. And if I felt they weren't treating me with respect, then I wasn't going to treat them with respect. Didn't matter if it was my headmaster and I was telling him to fuck off. Didn't matter. He didn't respect me. So, yeah, I don't do anything just because a law or a rule tells me to. I do it because it's the best option for other people and myself. And if I ever felt it wasn't, and other people would be in danger because of it, I wouldn't do it.
Huh. That's cool. You govern yourself with your own moral guidelines. I think that we could use more of that. So kind of along those same lines, if you couldn't be convicted of a single type of crime, what criminal charge would you like to be immune to?
Stealing.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I could like buy it. I just take anything you want. Makeup's expensive. Games are expensive. Yeah. Shoes. I could just walk into a newly built house. This is my house. What are you going to do about it?
This is mine now.
Give me the keys.
But it is, so like if it's a house, like you're not taking it. Like, is that stealing or is that just squatting?
I mean, if I steal the keys from the shop, then yeah, it's stealing.
True. Fair. Okay. I'll allow it.
Just walk in the house.
If you could press a button and receive $1 million, but one stranger would die, would you press the button? And if so, how many times?
No.
No?
No. Money is, although money's great, but it's not forever. I can never live with myself knowing that I killed someone. Unless if I knew who they were and they were a person, then maybe I would think about it. But if it's
I knew who they were, it'd be okay. But
if I didn't know it was like my great uncle, yeah, totally. Jim. No.
Jim.
I couldn't live with myself knowing that I killed someone's mother or someone's son, or just for like £1 million isn't a lot when you look at it realistically for someone's life.
Yeah.
And what they could give
For sure.
to the world, it doesn't compare to me.
Plus, if you're immune to stealing, what do you need the money for?
Exactly. I'm already immune to stealing. What am I going to do with £1 million? Steal it.
Exactly. So we talked a little bit earlier about being anonymous on the internet and people saying whatever the hell they feel. Does anonymity encourage people to misbehave, or does it reveal how people would choose to act all the time if they could?
I think it's a way for people to misbehave. I think face-to-face, people just don't have the guts. And if you see a comment you don't like, you have a quick flash of passion that you'll write out quickly and hit send, and then maybe days later think about it. But like, and nowadays people just react on this quick kind of reaction feeling more so than thinking about it. And when you're face to face with people, you have to think about your reaction. So yeah, it just gives people a chance to misbehave. But at the same time, you really should not listen to what anybody says on the internet.
No. Like, God, ever. No. God, no.
Like, it's, no.
Yeah. What are your most important rules when going on a date?
Nothing. Sex is the first date. So all I right. say this as a joke, but I kind of do have some logic in it, okay? If you go out, have sex, get all that awkwardness out the way, then afterwards you can talk about whatever you want. Like, there's going to be no kind of date and building up to this big moment to maybe be disappointed or not be disappointed. Get that out the way, and then you've got things to talk about.
I dig it.
Done.
What word is a lot of fun to say?
I can't say it. So I actually mentioned this in Rob's stream today. I can't say this word because Americans and English people find it super offensive, but it's really relaxed in Scotland and Ireland. But it's see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's my favorite word.
I use that word when I want to trigger my wife because she hates it too. It doesn't bother me.
I don't get why people. Do you know, as a woman, okay, as a woman, I am taking that word back and making it our own so girls can say it.
There you go.
It's empowering. Say it. Yeah. Say it right now. Just not the boys.
Yeah. Oh.
God damn it. Only we can say it. You can.
Oh, it's one of those. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's our word, okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
So cunt.
What country is the strangest?
Oh, Japan or Russia? Russia's the strangest because it is one of the biggest countries in the world, but it doesn't have a lot. Like, that's crazy to me.
It doesn't have a what?
Like, it doesn't have a lot. Like, it's empty. It's mainly dead land over Russia. Yet it's one of the biggest countries. Like, what?
That is weird.
And Japan, just because all the lights, you know, I'm very light sensitive. I would just be like a rabbit in headlights. Like, oh my God. What?
So are you more of a, like, living out in the country person or more in the city?
Bit of both. I would love, and this is why I love Ireland so much, if there was like a country house, but 10 minutes away from a city or a town. And Belfast has that, or like everywhere has that in Ireland. It's like a 5-minute journey down the road, but there's like all this beautiful scenery and nature. It's my happy place.
That's why we fell in love with the house that we bought, because behind us is all woods. Like, next door to us is a big field. So it feels like we're kind of like out in the country,
like isolated to yourself.
Yeah, but then, like, we could be to the grocery store in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that is my ideal place to live.
Yeah, it's perfect. All right, I'm a little terrified to ask this question, but it needs to be asked.
Go for it.
If you built a themed hotel, what would the theme be, and what would the rooms look like?
Okay, it's not going to be what you think it is. I would build a Halloween/horror-themed hotel. And it would be Halloween themed. So, like, vampires, ghosts, werewolves, like, majestic forests, things like that would be the room themes. That'd be pretty dope. Yeah, right?
I dig it. What is something you really resent paying for?
Clothes. Everything. Actually, no, everything. I'm Scottish. We're really stingy. So I hate separating myself from my money in exchange for something and it leaving my hand. It hurts me so much.
It's funny. I love spending money until I spend the money that I'm like, fuck, I shouldn't have spent that money.
I have this beautiful thing, but I spent this much. No, I can't. I like love all these things, but I hate the money part. Like, it leaves my hand.
Like, I love all these.
And I look at that cashier, and I'm like, you know you're torturing me.
And you, you know you're the worst person.
You do something about it, and you're not.
Yeah, so it's funny because I have all these nice toys in the stream room, but I hate buying all of them.
Yeah,
but I love buying all of them. It's like a vicious cycle.
It's heartbreaking. It's really sad, and that's why I would steal if I had any kind of criminal immunity.
Yeah, I see. you're right. That is probably the best answer to that immunity question. Because then that solves all of those problems.
Yeah, it's all life problems solved. Don't have a husband? Go steal one.
Yeah. Last one. If you had to disappear and start a whole new life, what would you want your new life to look like?
Hey, nothing would be different. I'm like such a basic bitch that doesn't like change. So yeah, it would be exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel if I did want anything different, I'd just be doing it now. It would be different. I'm not one of these people that kind of feels trapped or feels like, oh, no, I have to stay in this. If there's anything I don't like, I would change it. So if I had a new life, yeah, it'd be this. I'd still have two dogs, two dumb dogs.
Yeah. I'd probably have less. I'd have less student loans, but that's about it.
Called Dino Curly.
Dino Curly. Just like change this it. Weird. It's like this weird, like, alter world.
I don't
world.
Even have, like, student loans, though, because Scotland has such a good educational system where your education for university gets paid for by our government.
That's amazing.
And then you have loans and, like, bursaries on top of that. So it's paid for me.
I pay as much money every month for my student loans as I do for my house.
That is disgusting. That is truly that...
Yeah.
Oh my god, that makes me angry for you.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Was your education worth it?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have a wonderful job.
Back in the day that makes sense, but I kind of feel like now with everything online, anything you do want to learn, well, dependent on the thing, you kind of don't necessarily need.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, like, I'm in a very technical field, so I'm an engineer, I'm a process engineer, so there's, like, a lot of theory and things like that goes into it, and the certifications that I've gotten, like, through my education are what allows me to hold the positions that I hold, and obviously, you know, as I get further into my career, you know, I'm going to be making a lot more money than I probably would have been able to make without a college degree, but it's that balance these days, you know, because you can go into a trade and like learn how to weld or learn how to run heavy machinery or, you know, make like your own business, and probably get a jump and have a chance to make money right away, where mine was more of an investment, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like education to me will always be worth it, especially the university experience, because you learn so much more than just your degree. You learn your socializing skills and things like that.
And that's the biggest thing. And like, even like when I was going to school, I was like, I don't think school is for everybody, but I feel like if people do go to college or to university, like living away from home is probably the most important part, because like it forced me, like I had to learn how to do laundry. I had to learn how to cook for myself. I had to learn how to go grocery shopping. And, like, I had a lot of friends that didn't do that because they went to local colleges and they stayed at home. And they might have saved money, but they didn't get those life skills.
Yeah, you didn't get those life skills. And it's hard to beat that into somebody. It's so hard.
And then, and then you've got to try to learn, like, important life skills. Like, how do I get food when I'm still drunk from the night before?
That is, you don't sober up.
Yeah, like just real, like real world, you know, skills that you need to learn as a human being.
Budgeting should be a freaking lesson, okay? Oh God, throwing it out there. Tell me should be a it. Class, budgeting.
Yeah, just straight up, like how to balance a checkbook.
Even that hurts me to think about.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. This has been a super fun episode. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. It wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
That's what everybody says. Like everybody comes on, they're like super nervous, and then we end up just shooting the shit for an hour, and then they're like, "Oh, that really wasn't that bad."
I think it's because it's always that one question that might pop up. They're like, "Oh God," although the questions didn't really. I'll answer whatever.
Yeah. Most people will, and I try to keep the questions somewhat reasonable. Like you can always tell that there's a few of those questions that are meant to troll, and I'm like, that's not what we're trying to do here. I'm trying to have some fun. So why don't you let anybody that might have not caught you yet, where can they find you?
You can find me at the corner. No, you can find me on Mixer, Curly Dino. or Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. All Carly Dino.
Excellent.
Because I clearly worked so hard on my name.
And you guys can find me at Mixer, Instagram, and Facebook at Rock City Roller. Twitter at Rock City Roller 1 and YouTube at Rock City Roller TV. Curly, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, everybody, it's been the One of Us Community Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
And that'll be it for the 26th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. Huge thanks to Curly for taking the time out of her busy schedule to chat with us. Please make sure you follow this podcast wherever you receive podcast content, as we're now on all major platforms. If possible, please rate and review the show, as it'll move us up in the search results and help others find the community. Additionally, you can now sub to the podcast at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support to help with production and commissioning costs. Don't forget to join the Discord at discord.gg/oneofus to chat with all of our guests and submit questions for future episodes. Additionally, we feature LFG, streaming and tech support, monthly game giveaways, and great conversation with over 2,000 members. You can find me on Mixer, Facebook, and Instagram at Rock City Roller, YouTube at Rock City Roller TV, and Twitter at Rock City Roller 1. For more awesome content from the One of Us stream team, be sure to check out the team page on Mixer at mixer.com/team/oneofus. I'll be sure to include all those links in the show notes as well. Stay tuned to Discord for the announcement of the next guest, and make sure that you get your questions into the OOU Podcast Questions channel. Until then, I'm Roxy Roller, and this has been the One of Us Community Podcast.